wishing all Radio Aryan listeners a happy Christmas and a diversity-free new year.
Tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 11th of December, 2018, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAryan.com. Well, we've got three new stories for you today from different parts of the world, and the first country we're going to venture to is Denmark. Now, there's some news from Denmark, which I thought was really good at first. Really good news. They're planning on placing criminal migrants on a deserted island where they can't cause any more harm to the law-abiding population. Sounds wonderful when you first hear it. But there's a little bit more to the story once you delve into it. And the report that I've got on this comes from Voice of Europe. UN Human Rights Chief Michel Bachelet criticises the Danish government's plan to place criminal migrants on a deserted island. According to her, it is not good to stigmatise migrants in this way. About a week ago, Denmark's finance minister, Christian Jensen, announced that criminal foreigners in the future will be placed on an uninhabited island in anticipation of expulsion. So they're just going to be put there while they wait to be sent to another country, which is great, you think. But, and this is a big but, they aren't actually going to be kept on this island. They are actually going to be allowed to mingle among the population during the day, and they just have to go to this island at night to make sure that they sign in. So it's not actually going to protect the Danish people from them. It's not actually going to speed up their removal. They're not going to be locked in on this island. It's just going to be a waste of more money on providing the facilities for them there. And of course, because it's a new facility that's going to be built there, it will have to have sports halls, and it will have to have an education bit and a food bit and all the other so-called rights that white people have fought for over the years that they don't actually have in the non-white countries. So they will still be being treated as if they're in a hotel. After the island has been cleared of swine fever, the migrants will be allowed to leave the island during the day but must stay there at night. The decision was taken in conjunction with the budget negotiations from the Danish People's Party. Hooray, wrote the party's Soren Espersen on Twitter after the decision. However, the plan is now being criticised by UN Human Rights Director Michel Bachelet, who says she is seriously concerned. We have seen the negative effect of such isolation before and should not copy these rules. To deprive them of their freedom, isolate them and stigmatise them only increases their vulnerability, she told reporters in Geneva, according to Reuters. And don't forget, these are criminal migrants. These are migrants that have been found guilty of rape or murder or muggings, serious crimes, or they've been accused of serious crimes and haven't actually been put in prison. And this UN human rights chief is concerned that it's going to stigmatise them, putting them on this island. Well, they should be stigmatised. They shouldn't even be in Denmark, let alone among the Danish population and able to carry out these crimes. Inger Stolzberg, Denmark's Minister for Integration, does not agree. They are unwanted in Denmark and they should feel it, she wrote on social media. according to the news agency. Well, that's something that you wouldn't even hear a British politician saying, so at least that's good. Regarding the UN chief's statement, Inger Stolberg says that it is strange that someone can sit in New York and criticise an exit centre that has not even been built yet and whose conduct will follow all the conventions signed by Denmark. What they really should be doing is just putting all the asylum seekers on an island separate to everyone else. They're saying that they are fleeing war and they have to come to a safe country. Well, they can be put in a safe place, safely away from war, and somewhere where they're not going to affect the general population. This has already been done by Australia. And it worked. When they started putting the asylum seekers on an island off Papua New Guinea, all the boats that had been travelling to Australia with quote-unquote refugees on them stopped. There were no more people drowning trying to get to Australia. There were no more criminals trying to get there, throwing away their documents and saying, well, we're actually from Syria, even though they were Negroes. All of that was stopped by telling them that they were not going to be given Australian citizenship. They were not going to get all the freebies that they were thinking, but they would be safe. If they genuinely are fleeing from war, then they'd be more than happy on a tropical island in the warmth there. They've got their food. They can live in their tents. And then when it's safe in their own countries to go back, they can go back and they'll be helped to go back. That's the way that this should be dealt with. The EU should be doing deals with Turkey and doing deals with Africa to take back all the so-called asylum seekers that are coming into Europe. That's what Denmark should be doing. They talk about how we need to help the developing world, which is always developing. It's never yet been actually developed, and it never will be, because that's not in their blood to create civilizations. They never had. But this developing world that we are supposed to be trying to help, that we give a certain fraction of our gross production every year, gets sent over there in foreign aid. In exchange for that foreign aid, we should say, well, we'll buy a little bit of your land. Give us a little bit of your land, and what we'll do is we'll send all our asylum seekers there, and they can live there, and they can be safe from the war that's going on in their own country. You've seen the tents that the UN put up, the refugee tents and the refugee camps that they have. What is to stop the EU doing that somewhere in Africa and somewhere in Turkey? And what we could do, when they wash up on our shores, we could just fly them over there and say, here you are, you're safe here now. You no longer have to worry about Libyan slave traders or nasty tyrant Bashar al-Assad gassing you. You can stay here in this nice, lovely, specially built camp for you that we've built in the Congo or in Marrakesh. Or in Morocco, or in any of the countries that are in Africa that aren't actually supposedly at war, and you could put the army around the camp to guarantee that there wouldn't be, if there was actually wars in that African country, that it wouldn't affect the refugee city, the refugee tent city that you could create for them. That's the sensible way to deal with the refugee problem, because it's not a refugee problem. What it is an invasion problem. Refugees are supposed to go to the nearest safe country, and most of them have travelled through dozens of different countries before they actually get to Britain or Denmark or France. They have no business claiming to be refugees and fleeing from war. All of this is a planned replacement of white people by the UN, and they even call it replacement migration. They even have targets for the amount of Negroes that they want in Europe to replace white people. The excuse they give for it is that white people aren't producing enough to replace ourselves, and instead of encouraging us to produce enough to replace ourselves, they think, well, we'll just replace all the white babies that aren't being born with fully grown Negroes. As if you could just swap a high IQ white man that is productive for a Somalian Negro that doesn't even know how to read or write. It's a huge scam that's going on here. And that is one of the ways that it could be dealt with, where we still kept to our treaties. Just do what Australia does and put them all on an island somewhere. Denmark have got the right idea about putting them on the island, but definitely not the right idea saying that they can mingle with the Danish population during the day. I mean, putting them on an island off Denmark, which is freezing cold, that's brilliant. They should do that with all of them. And I bet you within months, a lot of them would be saying they wanted to go home again and the war was over in their countries. But as we know, our governments are run by traitors, so don't hold your breath for them to do anything sensible like that. Oh, and the next story that we've got for us today is from South Africa. And obviously this concerns, well, it's a very concerning story about the expropriation of white people's land to hand it over to the Negroes, supposedly in reparations. I don't know how they can claim that the white South Africans owe reparations to the Negroes. There were no Negroes living on that bit of land when the whites went there, and the whites built the civilization there from scratch, and now the Negroes are demanding that it be handed over to them. They think it belongs to them. They really do think it belongs to them as well. Never mind the fact that they don't know how to maintain any of it, and the power stations and the hospitals are falling apart, and any of the farms that have been taken over by them run into the ground. South Africa used to provide food for the rest of the world, and now the rest of the world has to feed South Africa. And not just South Africa, all of Africa. You cannot switch the television on for more than half an hour without being hit by an advert asking you to feed the South Africans, or feed the Africans rather. Feed the starving Negroes. Water the starving Negroes. They don't even know how to dig their own wells. You know, there's no other creature on the planet that we end up having to feed and water because they're not capable of finding it for themselves. It's only the Negro. And the more we do it for them, the more they will produce, the more they will reproduce. And eventually, every resource that the white world has, every resource that we've worked hard to create, will end up being transferred over just to feed all these wide open Negro mouths demanding to be fed. White South Africans could be forced to give up their homes from next year as the nation's government steamrolls through plans for land expropriation over claims that Africa's original sin must be reversed. Land is a huge issue in South Africa, where racial inequality remains entrenched more than two decades after the end of apartheid, when millions of the black majority were dispossessed of their land by a white minority. Now, there are two huge, great lies in that. Racial inequality remains entrenched more than two decades after the end of apartheid. The races are unequal. One race is black, the other race is white. One race has an average IQ of 110, the other has an average IQ of 85. It's biological. There are biological differences, and it's not like you can say, well, they don't look any different to me. They do look different. One is white and the other is black. You cannot make the two races equal. You cannot make their outcomes equal through legislation. They are two entirely different subspecies. That's the first lie. And the second lie is that millions of the black majority were dispossessed of their land by a white minority. There were no blacks there in South Africa when the whites went there and built it. And if they're talking about them being dispossessed later on than that, the white South Africans were kind enough to say to the Negroes, well, yes, you can come here and you can work here, and we'll even build you shanty towns on the outside of our cities, and we'll even police them for you. But it was on land that the whites had cultivated and built for the Negroes. There is no way that they can say that the black majority were dispossessed of their land by a white minority. It's completely the other way around. It's the black majority that are now dispossessing the land of the white minority. The National Assembly agreed to the establishment of a committee that will draft an amendment to Section 25 of the Constitution, a law which will allow the government to take homes from the people and refuse to pay them compensation. This is just theft, basically. This is theft, stealing homes from people, stealing land from farmers, not paying them anything. It's whole-scale theft. It's exactly the same as what the Bolsheviks did in Soviet Russia when they collectivized all the farms and collectivized everything. They just took everything. And this is going on today. When you read about the Bolsheviks, it really was just a criminal gang that were taking on the role of politicians and taking on the role of government of the USSR. And that's what we've got here. We've got black criminals that just want to steal everything that the white man has because they're not capable of creating it for themselves. As many in the nation see the move as retribution for the original sin, when decades ago black people were driven off their land, it is believed that white farmers will be driven from their homes immediately. But where is the proof of this original sin when blacks were driven off their land? It never was their land. It was always the white man's land. The Negroes hadn't made their way across the Sahara Desert to get there. They didn't do that until there had already been settlements built and there was a civilization there. And the white South Africans said, well, you're welcome to come here and work. We will share our wealth with you. And this is the way that the blacks have repaid them. This is what happens when you tell other races that they're equal to whites. It goes against the natural order. It goes against everything that's right. And you're just making a stick for your own back. We made a rod for our own backs by telling the Negroes that they're equal to us. Governing party, the African National Congress, wants to amend the law so the government can take back land and distribute it. Just look at the way that's written. So the government can take back land as if it was owned by the black government originally and the white man stole it. No, there was nothing there and the white man built everything that's there. However, critics say it is likely it will be handed off to their friends rather than dished out to those in need. That's not the point. The point is it's being stolen from whites. It's a secondary issue that it will be handed off to the blacks that are in government, handed off to their cronies. Of course it will be handed off to their cronies. Corruption is second nature to them. Last week, the nation's politicians fast-tracked the setting up of a committee which will write the legal change and present it next year. So never mind the fact that this is blatant theft. The way the Negro thinks is, well, if you just write it down on this piece of paper, then it becomes legal. And Theresa May has backed them in this. She said, oh, it's okay for the Negroes to take the white farms, so long as it's all done legally, so long as there's a bit of paper that says that it's perfectly fine for the Negroes to do this, then that's okay. Never mind the fact that Negroes don't understand the difference between right and wrong, as this shows, as this proves, yet again, for thousands and thousands of times, we are shown that Negroes don't understand the difference between right and wrong, and yet people ignore it and assume that they're the same as us. The motion was adopted with 183 MPs voting yes, 77 voting no, and no abstentions in fiery scenes as South Africans battle over land reform. In the same week, South Africa's High Court rejected a legal challenge brought by a group representing white farmers against President Cyril Ramaphosa's plans for land expropriation without compensation. Well, of course the High Court is going to reject it. It's a legal challenge that's being brought by white people, and they've been taught that the only reason why they don't have all this stuff is because the nasty white man is such a racist. Never mind the fact that they wouldn't even know how to read and write without the white man teaching them, let alone be put into the position of running a courthouse. There's never been a system of law in Africa, and yet here we are with a South African High Court that's being run by Negroes. Of course they're not going to get a fair trial. Currently, Section 25 of the Constitution, just and equitable payment, which reflects an equitable balance between the public interest and the interests of those affected, must be offered for land. But changes would abolish the need to compensate. So when the white people handed over the governance of South Africa to the Negroes, there was a constitution that both sides agreed upon that was to prevent something like this happening. And now it's 20 years later, the Negroes are just going to throw that out of the window, break all the agreements that they had with the whites, and write it into law that they can just steal the white man's land. Economic freedom fighters politician Helen Giwi Mukalifi said those arguing against legalizing land grabs are beneficiaries of racism. "Your time is up, white people," she added. And yet still we have people saying that this is a rainbow nation, this isn't going on, there isn't any racism against whites. And yet here we have the politicians there saying, "Your time is up, white people." The EFF will later put forward an amendment stating that all land in private hands must be appropriated. It is. This is exactly the same as what the Bolsheviks did. Democratic Alliance Chief Whip John Steenhuisen said the amendment is being pushed through without proper procedure. What it, the passing of the motion, also says very clearly to the people of South Africa is that regardless of their submissions, this bill is a fait accompli. It is already decided, Steenhuisen said. This is madness. The message it sends to the people of South Africa is, we don't care what you say. MP Sibusiso Mungwabi supported the adoption of the motion. He said, "Let's continue giving this Christmas gift to our people." And what he means by a Christmas gift is stealing the land from the whites. He just sees it as a Christmas gift. I mean, we should all count ourselves lucky that they haven't just slaughtered wholesale all the whites that are in South Africa. And that is coming. And it's individual cases so far. But one day they may just wake up and slaughter all the whites. Last month, Ekurhuleni's city council voted in favour of forging ahead with the expropriation without compensation, the legal tool that the ruling African National Congress says is necessary to provide land for disadvantaged black citizens. Just think about that. They're saying that they need to steal this land from the whites to give it to the disadvantaged black citizens. And why have they got disadvantaged black citizens? Because they keep breeding more Negroes and they're not actually capable of looking after the Negroes that they already have. And this is a microcosm of what is happening all around the world. How is it going to be when the whole world has disadvantaged black citizens and white people are minorities in their own lands? This is just going to happen in all the white homelands. The Negroes are going to say, we need everything that the white man has because we've just got too many Negroes now. They're all disadvantaged. They're all in poverty. This is the way that we have upset the fragile ecosystem of the world by interfering in the Negroes' progress and giving them civilization and telling them that they're the same as us. This is our punishment for doing that. Ramaphosa handed over the title deeds of 4,586 hectares of land to Chief Inkosi Mandela Mukwanzi of the Kwamkwanzi community in Empangeni near Durban. The Kwamkwanzi community was forcibly removed from their land more than 100 years ago, following the enactment of the 1913 Land Act. Okay, they were forcibly removed from the white man's land in 1913. It wasn't Negroes' land, it was the white man's land. It was land that the white people said to the Negroes, "Well, if you come here and work in our cities, we will build a shanty town for you here, and you can stay here." It certainly wasn't owned by this tribe. It was given to this tribe by the white people. They have every right to take it back. And they would have given them somewhere else to live when they did that. Like other South African cities, Ekurhuleni faces a dire housing crunch, with some 600,000 of its nearly 4 million people living in informal settlements and a shortage of land to build homes. And again, a part of this is that this is the cover story, that they need this land to build houses for the Negroes, because they're going to take over all the white farms, all the farmland. And it's only the white farmers that produce anything in South Africa. It's only the white man that produces anything. Executive Mayor of Ekurhuleni, Muzandwili Msena, who heads the local ANC-led coalition, echoed the president, saying landowners in South Africa have no need to be scared. He added, "Our policy is not to take the land by force. Our policy is to make sure the land is shared among those that need it." This is just typical Negro language here. They're going to steal the land, but they will quite blatantly say, well, we're not actually going to do that. We're just sharing the wealth out among everybody. We're not stealing it. We're just going to take it from one race and give it to another. Eka Halini plans to expropriate about 865 acres of land in the city limits, both private and government owned. That has been vacant for decades, and they plan to develop it to relieve pressure in vast tracts of ramshackle dwellings. The mayor did not identify the landowners. And that's obviously because the landowners were white. And as I say, this is their cover story, it's just land that they need for building houses on. But that's not what the idea behind this is. It's the same as what went on in Rhodesia, that's now called Zimbabwe, where they just took all the white farmers' land. And as I say, you can go back in time and look at what the Bolsheviks did to the Russians, where they just took everyone's land and starved everyone to death. And it's an absolute tragedy what's happening over there in South Africa, and it's something we do need to highlight. Well, I've got one more short story for today, and this actually concerns Britain, and it's really just an update on what's happening with Brexit. Theresa May has been desperately going around the country over the last week trying to con people into accepting her Brexit deal, pretending that it's the only deal that we've got. I mean, she's gone from saying this is the best deal for Britain to this is the only deal we've got to there is no other deal, you must accept this one. And she has, yesterday, she actually delayed the vote. She's so desperate to hold on to power that she actually delayed the vote that was supposed to be taking place today on whether the deal would go ahead. And the reason why she's done that is because there are 100 Conservatives that have said they're not going to vote for the deal. I mean, the deal is already dead, but she's just grimly hanging on to power because she's so desperate not to leave. And the last news story that I've got for us today just shows you how desperate she is. The British government spent £96,684 promoting Theresa May's EU deal on Facebook between the 2nd and the 9th of December. Facebook have released the spending on political advertising, which included 11 ads with videos aimed at winning the public's support for her unpopular plan. On top of that, the Conservative Party spent £40,000 on 332 ads, and a further £1,659 was spent on promoting Theresa May's own Facebook page. The Ramonas are at it as well, with the second referendum People's Vote campaign blowing £47,000 on 694 ads, and the anti-Brexit Best for Britain spending £18,000. The British public and Brexiteers continue to stand strong, however, with May's deal massively unpopular and no shift in support for a second referendum. The public want a proper Brexit delivered despite the big spending efforts from the government and the Ramonas. It reflects how the establishment are seeking to persuade the public into supporting May's bad deal, with the Continuity Remain campaign also spending big to try and overturn the referendum result completely. And this is just like what went on before the actual referendum, where the television was just full of propaganda of all these terrible things that were going to happen if we voted to leave the EU. And now what we've got is the government telling us all these terrible things will happen if the politicians don't vote to go along with Theresa May's plan. But the British public aren't having any of it. Tommy Robinson's demonstration allied with UKIP on Sunday, that just proved that thousands of people turned out to say, we must leave now and we must overturn May's treacherous plan. This plan of Theresa May's, she did it entirely behind the backs of her own Brexit cabinet, which is why they resigned. They did all the work on what the plan should be. And then Theresa May just suddenly turned up with a bit of paper and said, well, I've got a plan here that I've written down on the back of a notebook that I've been working on behind your backs with the EU, and we're actually going to do this instead. And the Brexit secretary resigned, and the plan wasn't changed, and this is her Chequers plan. It was done entirely behind the government's back. It was done behind the public's back. Nobody wants it. And everybody wants her to step down. I think we need to have a general election. We cannot continue like this. I live in hope that she is going to step down before Christmas, and also Macron as well. We live in interesting times, don't we? Anyway, thank you very much for listening today. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.